It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. How are your brackets today? We'll recap the celebrity bracket challenge that we have going on here. Your phone calls always welcome every day, especially on Monday, best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Our celebrity bracket challenge is brought to you by NetSuite. And you can follow along at foxsportsradio.com. Jim Boeheim is still leading the Celebrity Bracket Challenge. Nichelle Turner from Entertainment Tonight, co-host with Kevin Frazier, is second. Todd Fritz and Josh Duhamel are third. Mike Golic Jr., Kevin Miles, Jake from State Farm, and Mark Sanchez are tied for fifth. The bottom five, J.J. Watt, Marvin Prince, Jerome Bettis, Chase Daniel, and then Rebecca Lobo, the talented host of the Premier League on Peacock and NBC, Rebecca Lowe. I keep saying Rebecca Lobo because it's March Madness time. Rebecca Lowe is in last place. All righty. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to dial us up, Operator Tyler standing by, 877-3DP-SHOW. Auburn head coach Bruce Pearl will recap some of the teams that are out and the final four that are in. Chris Webber, our good buddy, the former Fab Fiver, he has a new memoir out, and he will join us coming up a little bit later on as well. Your phone calls always welcome. UConn, Alabama, Purdue, NC State. Great storylines. So you get Big East, SEC, ACC, Big Ten. Just how they had it scripted, right? NC State has been fun to watch. Purdue's always been in the shadow of Indiana and Notre Dame. Anybody in the Big Ten, here they are. NC State, sort of in the shadow of Duke and North Carolina. Alabama, that's a football school. Alabama's in the shadow of Alabama. And then UConn, back-to-back. Do we start to recognize it's the system, maybe not the players, that Danny Hurley has put in place here? Because you lose some players to the NBA, and here they are again. First team in the NCAA tournament history with 10 consecutive games won by at least 13 points. The previous mark, you have to go back to 1981-82. I believe that was Isaiah Thomas's team. And then LaSalle might have been with, who was it, Tom Gola. Does that sound right? 1954-55 at LaSalle. But their average margin of victory right now is 27.8 points per game. Highest by any team going into the Final Four since 1996 Kentucky Wildcats. They do it. They do it playing, I guess you would say, old school basketball, but it's formulaic. This is what Danny Hurley is preaching. This is how they play. They don't have stars, like a star, but they do have a team that understands how to play offensively and defensively. Really no weak spots there. Weakness in their game. I keep thinking if you could somehow get Klingon, their big man, in foul trouble, then maybe that changes the complexity of everything. But this is a team, when they get to the second half, they go into overdrive. It was a close game. Then all of a sudden, it wasn't a close game. Watching Purdue against Tennessee was a lot of fun. Alabama, big surprise. NC State's a lot of fun to watch as well. So you got a Final Four with a lot of storylines. You also have an Elite Eight in the women's tournament with a lot of storylines here. You got Iowa, LSU rematch coming up tonight. And I think sneaky great, it's UConn against USC. So you got Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins, and then you have Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and company. That feels like a Final Four, even though it's an Elite Eight. So that's coming up tonight. Standalone games for the women. LSU is favored. Or no, I have them as in a two-point underdog. Just got this from DraftKings. LSU is a two-point underdog. Connecticut a 3.5-point favored against USC. Odds to win the men's tournament, it's UConn and then Purdue. NC State and Alabama considered long shots. All right, poll question today. What do you have for me, Seton?
I think we're going to stick to the tournament, and this is either a great sign or a terrible sign. But Paul and Todd submitted the same poll question today.
Wow.
Who are you rooting for to win the national championship?
Mm-hmm.
Going to go with, there's four options on this one, Dan.
Okay.
Yeah, four options.
Okay.
Alabama, NC State, Purdue, and UConn.
Okay.
Any
other
choice?
No other options.
Those are the only choices for this.
No other options.
Yes,
there.
You have four choices, only of those four teams.
By the way, the first hour brought to you by TireRack.com, the official tire expert of the Dan Patrick Show. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. Try the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Full lineup of BF Goodrich tires, special offers, free road hazard protection, mobile tire installation, TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Todd, who are you rooting for in the Final Four?
I am rooting for the North Carolina State Wolfpack, as much as I love Marvin Prince's UConn Huskies to go back-to-back. Got to root for Burns.
Okay. Seton O'Connor.
UConn. All right. Rooting for UConn.
All right. Marvin?
Come on now.
Okay.
Come on now.
Paulie?
This is tough. I think I'm going to pick Purdue. It feels like they've never been there. This would be the biggest moment in Purdue sports history, at least the past 50 years of Purdue sports history. I think that this fan base and campus would dine out on this for generations.
Well, they played for a national title before, but that was a long, long, long time ago, I believe, when Purdue with Rick Mount was there against Lou Alcindor and UCLA. I think that was a championship game. But they've been, they break hearts is what they do, because Purdue can lose to a 16 seed. And here they are with, and the big man is back in basketball. UConn's big man, NC State's big man. And you certainly have Purdue with Zach Edey, the big man. And in fact, it's hard to overlook somebody 7'4". But Zach Edey, the Purdue great star, college basketball player of the year, said somebody did.
I get to pay him back. Like there were so many coaches that looked over me. Like you could name a program, I could name a coach that looked over me. The Tennessee, Craig Barnes is a great coach, but he was in a bunch of our practice, looked over me. Like it's kind of been the story of my life. People have doubted me, people look past me, and can't do that anymore.
Yeah, he's right. Probably a lot of people. I don't think Purdue was his first choice, but he has been dominating. And I think that's the fun part. You start to look at these matchups, contrasting styles. That's a lot of fun as well. Duke bowed out, never thought they were a great team. They're always interesting, but that didn't mean that they were a great team. NC State, get on a roll. You win your conference tournament, and you win five games in five nights, and that's the team you look out for, because it's like every game was a make or break. We got to win these games to make the tournament. And then you just continue that momentum. So Connecticut has been fun to watch just because it's methodical. It's coming. It's a question of when it is, and then you better brace yourself, batten down the hatches, because what Hurley has done has been unbelievable. And, you know, sometimes we like to have that singular player or a couple of players. When UNLV had Stacey Ogman and Larry Johnson, you're like, yeah, they're a great team. But this UConn team, you don't go, yeah, they've got... Okay, they've got some, you know, quality players. I don't know how many are going to play in the NBA. That's how we usually judge these dynasties. And it's not fair to Connecticut. They're just a great college basketball team. Great. And they're different from last year. And give credit to Danny Hurley. Yes, Marv.
they're very much like South Carolina on the women's side. South Carolina's been dominant. UConn's been dominant. Neither one of them have a player that won their conference player of the year. They just dominated, and they were just level everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, there's no weak spots on either team.
Yeah, it's impressive. Also, the Kim Mulkey article in the Washington Post, that came out, and, you know, she was labeling it a hit piece. She got it, she was drawing our attention to it. And there was nothing in there where I went, oh, I didn't know that. Except for being estranged from her family, which, okay, that has nothing to do with her as a head coach. How she treated some of her players at Baylor, that was not a surprise. I mean, she has a singular focus, and that is winning. She's no different than Bob Knight. So if we want to trumpet Bob Knight and, you know, recognize his greatness, Kim Mulkey is, you know, cut from the same cloth. Not all of her players, not all of his players liked him. And now Bob took matters into his own hands, literally, with one of his players, Neil Reed. But Kim Mulkey is tough. But you sign up to play for her. Players transferred in to play for her. She wants to win. You may not like it, but I don't look at her as a villain. And she just wins. That's what she's told to do, paid to do, expected to do. But I read the Washington Post piece, and I went, okay. But she's the one that brought more attention to it, which made me think, wait, what is she hiding if she is so nervous about this? And they timed it out. I thought it was going to come out on Sunday, came out on Saturday. You want to time it so it's right before LSU's game, and then all of a sudden they're talking about it afterwards. Well, she said she hadn't read it, and I don't know if that's true or not, but this is what she does. She's tough. You know, Bill Belichick doesn't try to be your friend. I don't know if Kim Mulkey's trying to be your friend. She's trying to be, and I think, depending how long you played athletics, you do have coaches where that guy doesn't like you. You know he doesn't. But there is a respect, like Vince Lombardi. His players didn't like him. As one of his players, the famous quote, he treated us all the same. He treated us like dogs. As long as you're being fair to your players, then that's usually all you're asking for with a coach. Just be fair, be respectful. They play hard for her, and you had two of their best players who transferred in to play for her. It's not like you go, oh, my gosh, I didn't know she was this way. Mike Krzyzewski, very demanding. Bill Belichick, very demanding. It goes along with the territory. It's hard to be and have sustainable greatness as a head coach without upsetting somebody. And, yes, she had issues with some of her players, sexuality, social media. She, sat down Angel Reese, her star player, for four games earlier this year. You know, she demands greatness out of you. And sometimes what happens is a coach will ask for you to clean up your flaws when they don't clean up their flaws. Bob Knight would always yell at his players, have composure. Bob Knight never had composure, but he was a great coach. So I read it. I didn't really see anything that I didn't know or that I went, boy, that raises a red flag. She's a great, great coach, plain and simple. LA Times wrote a column that was UCLA versus LSU, and the LA Times went back and cleaned it up a little bit because it's basically saying good versus evil, and that's not fair to LSU. If that's the effort you give me every single night and how you play and you're tough, you know, we talk about LSU like, oh, man, they're trash talkers. The biggest trash talker is Caitlin Clark. Like, let's be fair here. It's just Angel Reese doing what she did at the end of the game bothered a lot of people. Okay, you're going to get that tonight. It's going to be Caitlin Clark probably putting her hand to her ear like, I can't hear you. Or maybe, can you see me? Okay, Angel Reese is going to have something to say as well. They're not going to be friends tonight, but they said they're not enemies. Tonight, you're opponents, and it'll be fun. And Kim Mulkey, she's going to be fired up as well. Guaranteed to be sparkling, maybe in a variety of ways there. So I look forward to it. The storylines for the women match up. You could not have scripted this. Well, they did script it. They were hoping you get to UConn, USC, LSU, and Iowa. This is a year in the making. We were worried that maybe you're going too early with Iowa and LSU meeting an Elite Eight instead of a Final Four, or maybe the potential for a national title game. Make no mistake about it, USC is for real. Juju Watkins is the next star. And in 4 years from now, if she's still playing in college basketball, we might be talking about her in the way that we talk about Caitlin Clark. It's a different style. But Juju Watkins dominates. Paige Beckers, what a wonderful story to come back from two knee surgeries to play for the greatest women's coach of all time, one of the greatest coaches of all time. Undermanned, not a deep roster, and here they are. Look forward to that as well. The storylines are wonderful, and they have the stage to themselves tonight. All right, best and worst of the weekend. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. Auburn lost at Alabama won at home against Alabama. So we'll talk to Bruce Pearl, the Auburn head coach, and get his thoughts on that, plus the other teams in this tournament, and what are the weaknesses. Certainly, I'd love to know if Connecticut has one. And NC State, how do you stop their big man? He is so much fun. So much fun. That whole roster, you know, yeah. The whole feeling of that team was just, I, you know, as I'm watching this game, and it was Duke leading and then NC State kind of inching up. And then all of a sudden, NC State going a little bit higher. And then all of a sudden, I go, oh, they're going to leave Duke in the wake here. Duke was so, like, every possession, it was a chore. It was work. NC State, it's like, I don't know. What do you want to do? I'll get back into it. You want to go against Philip? Yeah, I'll do. You want to take the jumper? Yeah, I'll take the jumper. Like, they just seemed to have fun. It was contagious. But they've been playing tournament basketball for over a month now, and it shows. All right, we'll get to your phone calls, settle on a poll question. Bruce Pearl, we'll get his thoughts on this. We're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals.
Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Settle on a poll question. Who are you rooting for in the NCAA tournament? Also, we're doing the Elite Eight, ATE, the top eight hot sandwiches, and we will come up with a winner, a one shining moment, on Friday, on Meat Friday. Seton, can you give us an idea of what the brackets look like? Because we have elimination going on with the Elite Eight today with our favorite sandwich.
Elimination's going to start today. Right now, this is what the bracket is looking like, although it hasn't closed just yet.
Okay.
This is based on the all the suggestions we took on Friday.
Okay.
We have grilled cheese,
yeah.
Essentially the goat.
Yeah.
We have a cheesesteak, which is what started the whole conversation.
Yeah.
We have a meatball parm. We have a chicken parm. This is slightly controversial to have two parms on it.
Okay.
We have a Reuben.
Okay.
We have a French dip. We have a Cubano. We have a Monte Cristo.
Oh, boy.
This is all open to still further discussion until the poll closes, which won't be for another hour.
Okay. Because I got to get two sandwiches today,
yeah.
And then we have to decide who is it. Going to advance here.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes, Paul.
Just to be clear, the eight is set. The committee's not still discussing who's in or who's out of the eight, correct?
See, no. The committee is very much still discussing.
Whoa.
It's like conference tournaments are still going on right now at this point.
Mm.
Right, right. So there's still room to change a couple of things if you want to. Maybe the Cubano Monte Cristo thing is a little too close.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the parm duel is a little too close. There's ways to work around this.
And there's a pastrami in there, correct?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like... you know, a Reuben.
Hmm. Okay. 877-3DP show. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. Got our poll question and ready to go with our good buddy Bruce Pearl, the Auburn head coach. Coach, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Who are you rooting for to win the NCAA tournament?
Well, that's a great question, Dan. Good morning. It's great to be with you. You know, I was rooting for some guys that hadn't gotten there to get there. First off, I was rooting for Purdue to get there. I was rooting for NC State to get there in the 11th seed. I was rooting for Tennessee to get there because the farthest they had gotten was the Elite Eight. This has now been the second time. First time was when I believe we got there in 10. Because I know the mountain that you've climbed when you've gotten to the Final Four. I know what it means to a coach. I know what it means to a program. I know what it means to players. Now, once there, to your question, I don't know that I've got a favorite at this point. I think Purdue and UConn are the two best teams that are left, obviously. And but I don't know at this point I've got anybody to root for.
Okay. Would you root for or against Alabama because they're in your conference? Do you want your conference to win a national championship?
Man, that's barely even a fair question, Dan. That's unbelievable. I mean, if I said, hey, I'm rooting for Alabama. I mean, I'm rooting for SEC. I'd be completely lying and just disingenuous.
Okay.
That's my arch rival.
That's fine.
You know, the last time the SEC got to the Final Four was 2019 when Auburn got there. Auburn was the first program from the state of Alabama to ever get there. Now Alabama can join us. you know, so, I mean, come on, man. There's no way, you know, and even within the framework of your own human nature. Now, I have said this many, many times, and I'm going to say it again. Nate Oates is one of the best coaches in the country. They have got a great program. They play fast and they play fun. There are other reasons why prospects should come to Auburn, not Alabama, okay? So I'm not giving them a recruiting infomercial here.
Okay.
But no, I will not be rooting for Alabama.
Does UConn have a weakness?
I don't think so. And I've not studied them as much as some of the other teams, but I don't think so. The weakness could be that it's only a 40-minute game. If it was an 80-minute game, they beat everybody by 60. you know, the only thing I think that could get UConn would either be Zach Edey, or because I think he could still be pretty effective, or It's just 40 minutes, and it's one game. It's March Madness. UConn's the best team in the field.
What's it like to be in the huddle? You know, UConn goes on that 30-0 run against Illinois. Have you ever had that moment in the huddle with any of your teams where you go, you got yourself in this. You get yourself out of this. I got no words to say.
I mean, when you're the opposing coach?
Yeah, yeah.
How about get a stop? You know, how about get a rebound? How about let's get a stop?
Oh, that's your Newt Rockne speech. How about you get a stop here or a rebound?
Yeah. I mean, you know, let's bring it down in its simplest terms. You know, I mean, how about defending without fouling? I mean, how about, you know, I mean, anything to get a stop other than just me having to call a timeout to stop the bleeding, you know?
We have big men back in basketball. I don't know if this is an aberration here, but you got some big men who are certainly making an impact. Edie, who came back, improved his draft stock, I'm guessing. NC State, Connecticut. I mean, these are guys. I don't know, you know, who's going where in the draft. That's usually how we tend to decide if somebody's a good big man. But these are all impactful big men. Is there a trend here?
Yeah, you know, Dan, that's a great discussion and a great question. You know, guess what though? There's been big men in college basketball, and there always will be. There always will be. The separator is there aren't the same caliber, the same kind of big men in the NBA because of its being positionless basketball.
Yeah.
Right? We don't have a post player anymore. But in college you do, in high school you do, and we always will. You know, I mean, even a year ago, Sonogo was a pretty good big man in the college basketball game. Shiwe was a pretty good big man at Kentucky in the college basketball game. The big kid at Gonzaga. I mean, so this is a great difference between college and the pros, is you can legitimately have a dominating back to the basket, post offense, post defense big, because in the NBA, everything is five out and five out. In the college game, it's four and five out, but you have a post presence. And it's one of the things I like about our game.
But also you get these players we're talking about, you know, DJ Burns, and you're talking about Klingon, and you're talking about Edie. You know, they're not one and done guys. So they have a little bit more of a storyline, that it's not coming in and, you know, wanting to shoot threes. You know, this is who they are. And it seems like their coaches have built around them and allowed them, you know, to be able to play the basketball that they're comfortable with.
You know, absolutely. They're all great stories. And like you said, sometimes we judge the quality of the big men about their draft stock, and that should not be the case. We should judge the quality of the big men based on the impact that they have on their teams. And, you know, Klingham's gotten so much better. DJ Burns has gotten better and being utilized properly. Edie, obviously, would be the one big whose game could potentially translate, because he is so dominant. And he is such a factor. And he's gotten, look, the last play of the game against Connect, when he takes him to the basket and is able to block that shot, that he can't make that play a year ago. So he has become more mobile. I think the issue with the difference in the game is the NBA, the men are so big and they are so athletic, and the rim being at 10 feet and the lane being oh so wide, there's just not enough room anymore for guys like Shaq or guys like Alcindor or guys like pros coming out right now. I would be very interested to see where a Bill Winnington would play or the great inside player for the Celtics, you know, Parrish or the Bad Boys and Detroit Pistons. Is there room for any center in college basketball and pro basketball now? I don't know.
Talking to Bruce Pearl, the Auburn head coach. The Tigers were number four seed, lost to Yale in the first round. What the hell happened there?
Well, anything to say anything that would be any way critical of any other circumstance other than Yale playing great takes away from Yale's victory. It is March Madness. Last year, Princeton in the 2-15 game did beat Arizona. There is something about matchups. Those Ivy League teams play harder and they're more physical. They're not as athletic. They're not as big, but they don't do things to beat themselves. They won't turn it over as much. They'll make their free throws. They'll value possessions. They're playing for one shining moment, because all year long they've been battling it out in the Ivy League, where the quality of basketball is good, but it's just not incredibly above the rim, and they're dying to get into that game. Now, in our game, you know, we had a couple of things that happened. Number one, 25 fouls were called in our game. You could add the fouls in the Houston Duke game, and they don't get to 25. And they fouled each other every single time down. You know, so they let you play in the NCAA tournament, but they didn't. That was not the case. The game was not called that
way.
Wait
a minute. You're not going to get fined retroactively by criticizing the officials, are you?
If you check my contract, I can afford a fine. I'm not criticizing the officials. I'm giving you facts. Facts are okay. Right? I haven't yet said one word. I'm just saying that if you added, and so, you know, sometimes in the first round, they, for whatever reason, the game get called closer than you do in the later round, because it's. And so, should I train my team to play for the first round, or should I train my team to play in the NCAA tournament?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, because you can't get fined.
You got to train your team to be ready to go. First round, that's it.
We were ready to go. Listen, we shot 50% in the game. We out rebounded them. We were ready to go. Yale made shots. Yale made plays. It can happen. We started the game 12-5. Now I got one of my players, my second best player.
No, we don't need to rehash.
All right, I'm just saying.
You lost. Yeah, you ruined some brackets there, including Adam Sandler, who had you going to, I think, the Final Four. So I hope you're happy.
I'm not happy, because Adam Sandler's like my favorite Jew, you know, and he, you know, he created a song, you know, that I could sing at Hanukkah, you know, and I let him down. I busted a lot of brackets of some friends, so I've got to own that.
You know what? I'm going to talk to him maybe this Wednesday, because I think we're doing Happy Gilmore too. Maybe I put in a word for you. Okay.
Oh my God, I'd love to.
Yeah.
I would love to. Thank you, Dan.
Can you use any part of your salary to pay for NIL, if you wanted to sprinkle in a little bit?
No, I'd love to. I'd love to be able to contribute to that, but I can't. And listen, the game is great off the court, and what coaches and players have done to put the game in the position that it's in right now is really, really good, and everybody should enjoy it. You know, right now off the court, I'm glad the kids are able to get the NIL. I don't want them to work at Subway. I want them to own five of them. And if the market is in a situation where the kids are worth what they're worth, how much are these kids at NC State worth to NC State right now? How much? Are, yeah. You know, and the answer is a lot. Now, there are some things that I would do. I would not have the unlimited transfer whenever you want to transfer portal and the NIL working at the same time, because together they're not working. There's more structure in professional sports regarding how we compensate our athletes than there is right now. We just got to find a way to provide a little order and a little structure so that every year I'm not having to ask my wife at the end of the year, honey, would you like to stay married to me? We just celebrating our you know, our 15th anniversary, or, you know, our, for a player, we're celebrating our second anniversary. Would you like to stay married for another year? Because somebody across the street, you know, is got a better deal.
Your wife officially hasn't entered the transfer portal.
No, she has not.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
I'm really, really grateful for.
Okay. All right. But there could be somebody who entices her with, you know, the bag.
Absolutely.
The bag, as they like to say.
Absolutely. And somebody's always got a bigger bag than me.
How about we end it right there?
Always, Dan, always a pleasure. Hey, listen, next time, let's solve the world's problems, okay?
Okay, all right. And I would leave you with this. Much nachas.
My friend, thank you.
You're welcome. You needed it after, you know, losing to Yale. Yeah. But we moved on. Much nachas.
SEC champions in 2024, SEC tournament champions in 2024. I'm very proud of our kids. It didn't end the way we want it to. Y'all be good.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Dan.
That's Bruce Pearl. Let me see. Maybe I could, you know, name drop, talk to Sandler. Sandler picked Auburn to win it all, I think. So I don't know. He might be at Danny. I don't want to see that guy ruin my bracket. I think Sandman maybe Wednesday. He's doing a movie in London with George Clooney. And I said, I gotta get an update here with my audience for Happy Gilmore 2. I text with him this morning. Yes, Eden.
I love how effortlessly it just rolled off your tongue to Bruce Pearl that, yeah, I gotta tell you, we might be doing Happy Gilmore 2.
Yeah.
Like we might be, yeah. I'm not really sure. We're still talking about it, but I think we got the script almost down.
Yeah. Well, I said to Sandman, I want to have you.
I don't know. We might be doing it.
Yeah. I got to see if Sandman will join us coming up on Wednesday. Let's nail this down here.
Yeah. I don't know. We might be. I mean, I'm still working on locations and a couple people holding out, but we're working on it.
Maybe there's something there.
We're close. We're close. I'll just say this, Bruce. We're close.
Yeah. I'll let you know. All right. Let me take a break. Your phone calls coming up. Update the poll results. Play of the day is next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
More phone calls coming up. Got people upset. Upset about their favorite sandwiches here. Seton is the ombudsman. I was going to say ombudsman.
Okay.
But you're the ombudsman.
All right. I'll take that. Yeah, people are very upset that I didn't really compare a lobster roll to a hot dog, but they are served in the same thing.
Can't believe you just said that.
Yeah, but that's not a sandwich. It's a lobster roll. There's a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, but a BLT is just not a hot sandwich.
No, it's not. That's what it is. We're just doing hot sandwiches here. All right. Update the poll results on who people are rooting for.
Yeah, right now you've got your choice of four teams, Dan. Right now, who are you winning to win the national championship? Right now, 45% have NC State.
Yeah.
Purdue and UConn are basically tied.
Okay. C. Webb has been there before, the member of the Michigan Fab Five, and he has a new memoir, By God's Grace. It'll be released on April 4th, and it's a look into Chris's story in his own words, the highs and lows on the court, off the court, and the infamous timeout, the years that he and his wife tried to have a child. They ended up having twins, never before seen photos, personal stories, heartfelt tributes to the most influential people in his life and his journey. And Chris Webber, the Hall of Famer, back on the program. What was the toughest thing to write about, C. Webb?
I think it was all of it, Dan. It's something I would never do again. But I think it's one of my greatest accomplishments, taking about 12 years to write a book. I started off with just the passion to do it, and I had to see if my words were real, so I got a stenographer. I would just speak to her and over months, and then I took a crew back to Tunica, Mississippi, where I'm from, where my grandfather is from. And so really for me, this was just self-exploration of, you know, when you're playing basketball, you have blinders on. When you're working like you do, you have blinders on because you have to focus on what's ahead, not left or right. And so at the end of this journey, this basketball journey, I had a lot of thoughts and definitely some positions on things that had happened to me. But I wanted to go back and just see it through a different lens. And that's why I called the book By God's Grace, because no matter how good you are in basketball, no matter how great of a journalist you are, no matter how great of a doctor you are, if you don't have something that's bigger than you, if people don't inspire you, if people don't feed you and that passion, if I didn't have that village, you know, it wouldn't have been a great journey. So it's really just a tribute and a thank you to those that helped supported me since I got here.
How ready were you to be a star when you got to Michigan? Because this wasn't you get to the Final Four and you get recognition. You guys got recognition early. Were you ready for it?
If I was ready for it, it's kind of a sad thing at 12, and I think I was ready for it. The first interview, so Dan, that's what I talk about basketball. So I played this game in sixth grade. I'd always played in the neighborhoods. I knew I was good, but I go to this Christian school, Temple Christian, and I had a game there, and I had 65 points, 15 dunks, and like 15 assists, and I'm 12 years old. And so at that point, you better have God in your life. You better have great people in your life, because you can tend to think it's about you. You're still naive. You think that people's love is sincere. You don't know the shenanigans that go on just amongst people. And so, yeah, unfortunately, I was prepared for it. I was thrusted into the spotlight at 12 years old. A recruiting issue started there with me and my friend Tom Izzo and Bill Frieder, who left at the time. So, unfortunately, yeah, 6 years later, I was all too prepared for it. But I think that that helped us stay steady in the locker room. And the guys were, too. You look at where Juwan came from, Cabrini Green. You look at Jalen's background and the strength of his mother. We were prepared as much as we could be for the whirlwind of the Fab Five.
How did it not go sideways, given where you grew up?
Damn. That's what I'm talking about in the book, brother. You know, it's so great to have parents that are great parents, but they didn't want to be your friend. You know, they wanted to help you. And so me, just real quick, you know, Jalen and I played basketball 12 years old. Best friends, promised each other to go to the same high school. My AAU coach comes in one day and says, listen, it's a great opportunity. They have scholarships at this school. And I wanted to go to Southwestern. I wanted to go to my city school. Well, my mother's a teacher. She taught at Mumford High School 30 years. Jamil Hill famously went there. The Winans famously went there. And so I wanted to be part of the city. And my mother, a teacher, she's like, no, are you stupid? This is an opportunity for education. It's an opportunity for friendships. And, Dan, I tried to fell out. I tried not to. I tried so many stupid things. And I just thank God that it wasn't – that I didn't get to do what I wanted. And I learned that both in Country Day and Sacramento, where Sacramento was someplace I did not want to go. It was a trade on the table with the Lakers, some other things like that. You know, I wanted to win. I called a timeout. I thought that having this trophy would be like, see, okay, now y'all want to hear what I went through? And it didn't happen that way. And I remember my mother saying to me, you know, this is a blessing in Sacramento. And I remember it probably being the only time in my life, I'm a mama's boy, where I was like, Mom, I do not want to hear none of your homespun wisdom right now. But it was right. It was the biggest blessing for me. So, yeah, I don't know how it didn't go sideways, Dan, because one crazy story is before my first AAU game, one of my best friends got, well, best friends, one of my closest friends was murdered, and he was 13. So I just thank God I made it. The safety of a village, the safety of good people around you, and wonderful discipline and rules is definitely what kept me safe.
Talking to Hall of Famer C. Webb, his new memoir will be out April 4th, Thursday, April 4th, by God's grace. Thinking about you coming on the show, realizing LSU women facing Iowa, and race is playing a role in this. When Michigan played Duke, race played a role in this. When you're in that moment, you're a freshman, how do you process that? That, you know, us against the world, because Duke probably thought it was us against the world from their perspective.
So, first of all, Baltimore Barbie and Caitlin, I love their game. It's the first year I probably know more women's names than men's names, and yeah. That's Steph Curry, because they'll walk in the gym and outshoot any man in the world. But when I say we were prepared for it, Dan, you know how my father worked at the factory of Detroit for 40 years. He was in the UAW. He came from Mississippi and had to work on the farm. Like, what could I complain about when I compared it to his life? And so when we talk about racism or other things, we knew it, and we would have discussions amongst ourselves. I mean, I don't know too many kids that got praised and death threats at the age of 18 or 19 like we did. But I think, again, it was our village. It was the coaches. It was the great students around us. It was other friends, you know, to let you live in that naivety where, oh, it's a death threat, but you have enough distraction, positive distraction, to keep you going forward. And I also think us being from Detroit, Chicago, and other places where we have seen people not make it, it's almost like the racism is way more than an emotion, way more. It hurts. It stops you physically. It spreads a narrative that you don't want. It doesn't reinforce the principles of your parents and other things. But however, we were from Detroit, and we knew that we were the underdogs in life, and that our job was to work harder, and that in our position, you almost had to be 10% better or work 10% harder to get a fair narrative. So I think our backgrounds prepared us for coming into conservative areas that wasn't ready for the youth. And it was racism, Dan, but it was also the movement of the time. Like, everyone in our age group at that time was kind of speaking out and standing up, whether it was hip-hop, TV shows, and others. So we also felt like we were in a larger community fighting for that independence of being, having the freedom to be who we wanted to be.
What is it like, though, to be us against the world, in your mind?
It's two sides. So let's start with the less positive side. It's lonely. You can't express yourself, because if you express yourself, you're complaining. You're talking to people that don't have enough context. In other words, someone will say to you, I heard someone say this to a friend of mine that played basketball and his mother passed. But at least you got all that money. If I was you, you know. And I'm thinking, what the hell does that have to do with that? So that can be a lonely place. And it can also isolate you. Because if you keep getting frustrated enough, you don't want to bring people down. You also may have survivor's remorse in complaining to someone that doesn't have what you have, right? That's one side. That's the bad side. Now, the good side is, so what? It's the world. Don't nobody love us anyway. It is what it is. There are no excuses. What the baby's going to do? I don't know where that phrase came from, Dan, what the baby's going to do, but that's been something I've held in my life since a young guy. And I don't know why whoever said it, but I got it. It's like we're all on our own. And so if you have that strength but can keep the love and the passion, then I think it can all work together. Where I've seen people struggle is where that loneliness creates bitterness, and they become a person that they're not, always angry at things that didn't happen or them being in that role of them against the world. So hopefully you have enough context to be able to put things in their proper place and address them when needed to be, when they need to be.
Now we have NIL. Is it weird to see it after what you went through at Michigan?
No. NIL still has to go to another level. So even in Michigan, we would talk about how the NCAA was a 501c3. We would talk about the fact that Nike brought gym shoes. We picked out Huaraches. I have a wonderful story in the book about we're the first team ever to pick out the shoe that would lead college and things like that. So when we wore black socks and the next weekend, it was 250,000 pair of black socks reportedly sold. We turned our Nike shirts inside out the next game. And these are things in the documentary and other things I wish people would have talked about, just besides the dunks, because all the substance is always missed in what we went through. Like the questions you're asking, how do you handle it? You against the world, and you're a bunch of 18-year-old knuckleheads. You don't even still going through puberty. How do you handle this? And it was the seniors. It was the juniors. It was everyone, because we all were together. But we knew from our influence, we didn't have cable when you were doing Sports Center. So we didn't have cable in our rooms and things. And so when we would go home in the summer or travel and saw, we went to Yugoslavia at the time and other places at the time, we saw that we had an impact around the world. And there's a famous story of me and a reporter who came to see me at Michigan, and I was with a football player, and we didn't have enough to get a Subway sandwich and some chips. And when that story came out publicly, a lot of athletes around the country really started hitting me and understanding the plight. And so how was it? It was tough. It's not what was said. I addressed the Ed Martin and all that great stuff in the book. So we did not avoid anything. I finally had the context and time to talk about it. But the NIL, I mean, it's unfair. Put it like this. Before Bill Russell passed away, this is an interview on TNT. I'm sure it'll be hard to find. But he likened NCAA to very unsavory practices that happened in America early. And he was saying, if you don't own your name, if you can't get paid, then how do you move forward? So I'm glad to see that we're moving forward. I love the NCAA. I love everything that's happening. But, you know, there's a reckoning. There's a reckoning coming. And I'm glad that these young, smart students hopefully are galvanized and hopefully work together so that no athlete is left behind.
And you've been generous with your time talking about the timeout, what that meant to you, naming your charity after that. But I'm wondering the role that your parents played in getting you to that point to understand, Chris, this is not going to define you. This is going to make you even stronger.
That's why, Dan, I'm jealous that you get to interview people, you know, from your level, because I can't imagine how much insight you've gotten. I used to always watch the old football documentaries or anything, looking for that worst point in their life. Reggie White said this and came back and played. I always looked for that. And so with the timeout, when I talk about God's grace in the village, I call the timeout. It's the worst moment of my life. It's lonely. I'm a mama's boy. I go home and get some mama's love. I'm the oldest of five. I got brothers teasing me. My neighborhood's bustling. Everything's great, or everything's bad. I come in and I have a letter, first of all, from Bill Clinton, a handwritten letter saying, you know, get up. I get these shoes from Jackie Joyner Kersee, the shoes that she wore in the Olympics and won as a gold medal. I had so much love and support from people around the world that really sustained me. But my mother came in the living room and she said, and my mother's, she doesn't have vanity plates. She doesn't drive a My mother is the most humble woman you would ever see. And she goes, look what I got, baby. And it was a license plate. And it said, time out. And I'm like, you know? And she's like, yeah, you know, whatever that means, whatever the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. And we're going to do some great things. And what was so great is she was a teacher. So her and my aunt Charlene had already planned these charity events coming up to the draft. You know, I called the time out around April 4th, April 5th. The draft is June 30th. Like, how can that happen in Detroit? Like, I had to research, how the hell did the draft get to be in Detroit? You know, and how was Shaq's draft in Portland? Like, what's going on? But for my mother saying that, to every year a child was born in a Detroit hospital, we would give the families books. We wanted to combat reading disparities and things like that. And when I saw my mom do it, it was like, how can you be ashamed? Man, you better go ahead and do your thing. And she doesn't care about basketball. So that's how my mom helped define me. My father, you know, Cowboys give you a pat on the back, son, it's okay. And you know, when it rains, get wet, something like that, you know. But my mom was like, no, we're really going to do this. So I thank God for my parents, because I don't know how I would have been able to frame those worst moments if I would have had people that were not strong emotionally and stable.
How do you thank your parents?
All right. So there's no way to do it. My father, he gave my father, he's something else. So I thank my father. I saw him cry when we did the Bill Russell interview. And Bill Russell walked over to him and said, you know, you did a great job, you're a good man, and a whole bunch of things. And that was, I didn't do that, but I paid for his ticket to come with me, so I'm going to say I did that. But so it's the day before draft, and I called my dad. I said, Magic Johnson's coming over tomorrow. He's coming over in the morning, man. You know, please have the house clean and stuff like that. He wants to talk to you about like, hey, this. My mother calls me, no lie, at like 6 in the morning. She's like, what did you tell your dad? He's cutting the grass. So I have my father pumped up. So the whole neighborhood, you know, the whole neighborhood is like hiding and looking out. So I go to the Cadillac dealership. And I walk in the Cadillac dealership, and everybody starts clapping. And it wasn't for me. It was because they knew my dad had worked at Cadillac all these years and never had a Cadillac. So, make a long story short, I get the car, drive it up on the lawn, which is a cardinal sin in our household. He comes out, boy, what's wrong with you? I said, Dad, look. And I throw him the keys, he's smiling, everybody's looking at him, and he just gets in the car real smooth and drives off around the block, and he comes back and goes, when is Magic coming? I said, man, Magic coming, man, how the car? So I think, you know, it's definitely gifts and things like that, but I think the biggest way to repay them is just to let them know the impact, the small things, the times when they weren't yelling, punishing, disciplining, that I heard what they said. And not only did I hear it, I believe it, and I took it in. And so hopefully the stories that I tell, hopefully reminding them that I know I would not be this strong without their guidance, hopefully that's enough for them, because I could never repay them that.
Great to talk to you. Look forward to reading the book. Thank you.
You're the man. Thank you, Dan, for having me.
That's Chris Webber, Hall of Famer. His new memoir is called By God's Grace. It'll be released Thursday, April 4th. Let's take a break. Back after this.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.